This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Should I just change my name to Josh?
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I pressed the wrong one. It's just getting kind of funny at this point. I feel like I should just change my name to Josh.
What do you want me to do? I pressed the wrong one.
Identity theft is not a joke, Jim. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach usually intros it in, but I felt like I had enough energy to kind of take it for a moment there.
I don't hate the idea of changing your name to Josh. Less letters.
Yes.
No, stop.
Less
There's
syllables.
Already too many of us.
Less time consuming than to write your name.
There are too many
Josh
of
is
us.
A very popular name in Buffalo right
it's
now.
It's a very popular name in
you
Buffalo
can't
right
have
now.
It. You didn't have it before it was cool.
This is Zach Jones over there. I'm Derek Josh Kramer. And
there we go.
Josh Schmidt running the board for us here. So
Zach also a very popular name around the, well, not around this time, but when I was born.
Yes.
Way too many. There's also way too many spellings.
Yes.
Most are incorrect.
CH is the right way.
You want to talk about spellings.
CH is the right way.
You want to talk about spellings. That's another bonus to having a Josh name. There's only really one way to spell Josh.
There is. I've seen others with
there
no H.
There are too many ways to spell Derek, and they're mostly incorrect.
Really?
I've seen a Josh
oh my
with
God.
No H.
Why?
Ready?
I don't know.
I can go up to my program director, have him type me up an email, and there is a non-zero percent chance that it is spelled wrong. Love you, Alan. Mm.
Yeah. I mean, I've always...
The amount of times that superiors, especially superiors that do not know me, have misspelled my name because it's spelled like there's like four or five different variations.
Oh.
There's like D-A-R-I-K. And I'm like, get out.
That one's not... No, that's not that bad.
Get all the way out.
I like that one.
That's Joe Rick.
I kind of like it.
The double R is the one that gets me the most.
The double R, yeah, I can understand that one.
To anyone that's got the D-E-double-R-I-C-K, I feel sorry for you.
Mm.
It's not your fault that was chosen to go the way that it was, but I feel bad for you, son.
Yeah,
that's tough. There's a new Derek on the Bills, the safety from Washington.
That's another one.
Yep.
I'm sorry, new Bills safety, Derek Forrest.
I'm sorry.
It's not your fault that you chose that.
No, there's a surprising number of ways to spell Derek.
Do you know how he spells it?
Yes.
D-A-R-R-I-C-K.
Yeah.
It's the that R-R.
One,
it's
that
R's.
One I think is okay. I think that's acceptable.
I like that
that's
one,
That's Darek.
No.
No.
Yes.
See, with yours, though, like you could say it differently just by how it's spelled. Mine, it'll always come out Zach. Some of them look wrong. Z-A-K legitimately looks wrong.
Yeah.
That looks wrong.
I will agree with you 1,000% there.
To any ZAKs out there, I don't feel that bad. I'm sorry.
It's not. They didn't choose that, though. Their parents did.
They didn't. I would confront your parents.
I would
ask questions.
I'd imagine it's not cheap to get it changed on legal documentation, though.
No, but like it's also like changing your name. You're like, what do you want to do? I just want to change the spelling.
Really?
You sure? Yeah. I need to change the spelling.
You don't want to change the name at all? And then I would go, actually, Josh sounds pretty good.
Josh sounds great.
Nobody can take my name. I had it before it was cool.
I love that.
And there's also too many of us. Too many of us here. Anytime anyone's talking about Josh Allen and they say Josh,
you do have the reaction.
Because I think they're talking to me. And that's not a bad thing. But, like, you know, it gets me a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
I'm doing other stuff and then I hear my name and it's like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's fair.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. You did hear the music. It is, of course, a Friday. Doesn't feel like a Friday. I'm just going to flat out put that out there now. It feels like a Thursday.
In a good way or a bad way?
In a bad way. It feels like a Thursday. I don't totally love that.
No. Because ready? Because now that's good.
I mean, yeah.
You're going to get out of here and go, I don't work tomorrow.
Right. Sabres won last night. They're going to play both Saturday and Sunday this week. 7-3 win yesterday. Derek, I saw it when it was 2-0, and I was like, oh, good for the Sabres. Cool. I was watching college basketball. The season for me, for the Sabres, is all but done.
Sabres?
I get money a chasm in the playoff percentages at like 0.1. I don't care.
We're back on the chart, baby.
I like go back to my phone after I hadn't checked it for a little while. It's 6-1. I'm like, oh!
Yep.
Good for you guys.
So
good for you.
I was out with a friend yesterday. We're trying to put together our roster for our 11-day power play shift. And a couple of basketball games are going on. The Sabres game is going on. And at any point during the conversation, we would just look up and go, oh, all right, the Sabres did it again.
They scored again.
And Reimer made plenty of good saves. There was a lot to that game to enjoy.
How many games, by the way, has Reimer started in a row now?
And I'm starting to think, like, this is a bigger conversation because Owen Parker had said something yesterday about it.
Yes.
Like, why are we starting Reimer so much? And the only rationalization I can think of is Lindy is quietly telling Kevin Adams, goaltender position is not good enough right now. And we're riding the hot hand.
We're just going to ride the hot hand.
UPL is not playing up to his contract already.
Which every time they've kind of pushed Lugan into the fire, he has done. Every time Levi's come up, that's when he's played his best.
Exactly.
Or when Levi's threatening him a little bit, it seems like that's when he's played
when
his best.
When the long-term future is threatening him, that's like Levi's greatest contribution this year has not been himself on the ice. He's also been bad in a Saber uniform this year.
Mm-hmm.
But his greatest contribution then becomes UPL plays like his hair's on fire. And that's every time Levi gets called up.
Mm-hmm.
However, after the Four Nations tournament, he has been bad.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, bad. To a point now where Lindy Ruff is turning to James Reimer as his starting goaltender. Goaltenders are fickle. They really are a weird thing to try to predict the proper future for in the National Hockey League. Unless you get someone like an Ilya Sorokin or an Igor Shesterkin, a young goalie who has proven right away that he should be the guy in net, you're always going to have these troubles, especially when your stable of goaltending is two young goaltenders.
Yeah.
It's not good enough for a long-term NHL roster, and you kind of are surprised now that they're back to giving up a bunch of goals when 2 years ago they were also giving up a bunch of goals.
It feels like it is this constant problem. Like, we can talk about how the roster needs to learn to win games.
The defense does need to be
stuff.
Better, yes, and
but,
I do think
but
they
this
need to...
feels like a problem of like the last 5 years of like they can't find goaltending for a year,
and that's
just for a year.
And that is, Kevin Adams has displayed some strengths at this point, but this is largely a portion why you struggle so consistently is because the answer in net is not consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you're going to match the product of what you have in net, because having some sort of stability, not needing a great goaltender, you need at least a good tandem. You have to have some form of stability in order to succeed, and they do not have any of that. And Lukanen has been, throughout his career, as inconsistent as his first season. When he comes up here, he's collecting wins, but he's not doing it in the cleanest way possible.
No.
The goals against was very spotty. It is becoming like, and Lukanen is a great personality, I think, for that locker room. He's a very genuine person. A lot of fans do seem to like him. UPL is, if you like him, you love him.
Yeah.
And if you hate him, you hate him. I'm starting to wonder, though, if his long-term viability is already going to be called into question, because he just is now riding the pine with James Reimer getting all these consecutive starts. So who knows? Maybe the coaching staff is saying, we know UPL is not good enough. We need a veteran presence in here that can start a good amount of games next year.
And that's the part, too. We're back to what we were a few years ago with Craig Anderson, where it's like, he's 37. Like how long is this actually going to go for? Can we maybe get some games out of him next year? Sure. But we're not doing the three goaltender thing again, because how long is Levi going to have to stay in Rochester? He's been incredible this year for them. But to your point, every time he seems to come up to Buffalo, Craig, by the way, it's not good.
Craig Anderson was 37 when he was in Ottawa.
When they made their playoff run?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's 43 now.
Oof.
Which tells you that 2 years ago, the man was 41.
Yeah, when they kind of were trying to ride him for a little while.
Yeah. He was not 37 when he was in Buffalo.
No.
That tells you just how bad they have been at adding veteran goaltenders. Eric Comrie, which, I don't know how much of that is necessarily Kevin Adams' fault. He took a guy that was statistically very good in limited starts.
Mm-hmm.
Analytically, it makes sense to make that signing, and then he comes here and he's not good. Goes back to Winnipeg, he's okay again.
Yeah, he found out pretty quick. His role was, okay, as a backup, great.
As a backup, you're very solid, but you are not the guy that can elevate his to another standing. And then Buffalo goes and plays Winnipeg, and they promptly beat the Jets because of Eric Comrie. Like, he was bad in that game. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure the Sabres, after two periods, had like 8 shots. They were leading.
To play a little devil's advocate here, in terms of adding veteran goalies, how has the veteran goalie market been in the past 5 years?
And that's
terrible.
That's a big thing, too.
And that's the thing is, you might have to do it through a trade. That's the problem, is that it's like the free agency market, as Josh said and correctly points out, it is a barren wasteland.
And then on trades, too, and let's just trade deadlines. We just passed that, so maybe people would argue for that. Paul, I know, said it for years. When has that worked? Adding a goalie in the middle of a season on a trade.
Robin Lehner.
Lehner?
No, I was saying that was the last time they did it, and it last time blew up in their face.
Well, also, that was a draft day trade, though.
True. That wasn't a deadline.
Yeah. Like, just to make the point further about what Paul says, is that it doesn't frequently happen, and if it does happen that a goalie gets traded mid-season, you are not familiar with tactics that a team employs on a day-in and day-out basis. Because every team is different in how they want to employ their tactics, their strategies on the ice. Concepts are the same. The core of it, at the very least, is hockey. You do have guys that need to make sure that they're the net front presence. You need the center to come in and cover the slot, or another forward, whoever is back checking the furthest in. But you do need some sort of thing there. Maybe the coaching is different. And that's how goalies get thrown.
I imagine that might happen going into this offseason.
But now I'm looking at this goaltending, I'm looking at this coaching staff as a whole now, and I'm thinking to myself, how is it that you managed to lose a couple of the developmental coaches that you had under Granato? And then the season where Granato leaves, the assistants are all still there. It still baffles me that Lindy Ruff did not get to pick his own staff. And I think we're starting to call into question just how deep does it go at this point? And we don't know. That said, Sabres' most toxic trait this year, Not this year.
in years past.
Years past, yeah.
With this core, their most toxic trait is starting to look cool in March.
Yeah, when you're well out of the playoffs.
Two seasons ago, they were in the playoff race. Mm-hmm. They were still looking cool.
Well, that was what was fun about it, is that they were alive.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. It was fun. Did they have a low percentage and then really got hot? Yeah. I don't think this year's
but
the same.
It's what they do early in a season
mm-hmm.
that has broken them. It's not about makes or breaks them. It is what breaks them.
Yeah.
All you need to do at this point is just go, hey, find yourself a veteran goaltender and try to at least pair them with one of these young goalies now. As a matter of fact, you could try to sell someone on Luukkonen being a young piece for you. I need a vet goaltender back. Give me something nice back in return because I'm giving you youth. And it's not like I'm trading for a stalwart.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I upset a lot of people just now if they heard me. The UPL stands. I know you. I see you. I get it. But at the same time, it might be time to start having an uncomfortable conversation about him.
It may be an uncomfortable conversation. I think for a lot of people, though, it'll be, I don't want to say vindication, but more this feeling of, yeah, this is sort of what we all thought he was. This is what years had proven to us last year. Second half of last year was sort of an anomaly.
But also, because they are starting off so young in their careers, both Luukkonen and Levi,
yeah.
They are going to look shaky mm-hmm. because it's not very common that you get a young goaltender to start right away.
That's the most frustrating thing about Levi, though, up to this point. We just mentioned that 2 years ago when they made that run.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best Levi's looked as a Sabre, is those early games.
Hell, look at Yaroslav Askarov.
Mm-hmm.
Highly touted goaltender prospect with the Nashville Predators. He's in San Jose, and he's not even playing in San Jose because he wanted to get on the ice, and people are like, Nashville said, no, we've got Yusei Saros. Even in a down year, we're going to stick with him. He gets traded off to San Jose. He's not playing full-time with the Sharks. He hasn't been playing full-time with the Sharks this year.
Yeah.
A team that is tanking.
A team that is, again, they're tanking again.
So what do you, like, young goaltenders are fickle.
Mm-hmm.
So say UPL goes off to another team. Would it be entirely out of the question that he figures it out by 27?
Well, no. I mean, if we're banking on the Sabres and getting rid of players, I mean, the betting line is probably going to be minus money. That he's going to figure it out.
27 would be next year, by the way. But like, would it be weird at all if, say, he gets to his 30s with a middling career
mm-hmm.
and then it turns on?
Yeah.
Wouldn't be weird at all.
And that's, I would say it's expected. Again, based off Sabres, like the last few years, it's expected.
I would then powerbomb that narrative that you're hinting at there. And say mm-hmm. goaltenders are weird.
But that's the problem. Is like a normal goalie, you'd be like, oh, all right, damn.
Do you know a friend that plays goaltender? Is he weird?
Josh just staring at us. Doesn't even realize.
No. I'm staring at Josh. That's on purpose.
Star of the 11 day. Look at Ethan. Throws his hands up.
Hey, no, settle down here. Not a star or anything.
If Owen was here, I'd be staring at him too.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
It's an endearing and good weird.
Oh, I know. We're
someone
all
who used to
strange.
Work in this building, Frank Carcuri. Super weird guy. Love him. One of my best friends.
Who's that position, though, in every sport that's a little unhinged?
You have to be.
Pitchers in baseball.
You are willingly choosing to have vulcanized rubber shot at you at high velocities. Yeah, there's padding. There's less padding than there used to be. I'll tell you that right now.
Love of the game, baby.
You want to get weird?
The pads are shrinking.
If you want to get real weird, whenever I put on all my gear when I'm going to play, I have to put it on in the same exact way every single time, and if I mess up the order, I start over.
I love that for you.
Ready?
I love that for you.
Requisite amount of weird. So talking about goalies, in summary here, is that it's weird. And it frustrates me, and yet at the same time, I don't totally get it, but I kind of get it.
Mm-hmm.
As to why they haven't figured it out. Also, you mentioned Robin Lehner. Outside of shootouts, he wasn't that bad. The biggest crime about Robin Lehner was that he came here at the price of a first-round pick when that was not the going rate for goaltenders.
And in the same offseason, there was also a line of free agency goalies that we're about to just
Cam
like,
Talbot got traded for a second round pick in the same offseason.
Right.
So, again, his biggest crime was what he got traded for.
A month before you could have just signed him for free.
Yes. That like that was just your general manager did not know the concept of value ever.
I mean, if we're being honest, like looking at his seasons in Buffalo, we would take that now in a heartbeat.
Exactly.
Like a heartbeat.
That's what I'm saying. Everyone disses on Robin Lehner. However, if Robin Lehner and that version, the Buffalo Sabres version of Robin Lehner, showed up in Buffalo,
yeah,
it's a vast improvement on what they've had.
That's
tough.
Like a massive improvement.
As a matter of fact, if you exclude Lehner, the Buffalo Sabres have not figured out a goaltender since Ryan Miller.
Oh, yeah. He's the last guy that like defeated.
Lehner was
like,
a small respite, but then that got blown up because he could not defend a shootout to save his life.
Mm-hmm.
And they were losing points and standings, which would help out with the drought, because the man couldn't settle in on the one-on-one competition.
Skills competition is not the same as soccer penalties. It's not the same. It is a skills competition. I am with a lot of people. I hate it. I hate the shootout.
At this point, it's old.
Yeah.
At this point. I don't want to say go back to ties, but at the same time, if you haven't scored a goal in 3-on-3 overtime at that point, neither of you deserve it.
Yeah, let's move on.
Neither of you deserve the point. Let's move on.
Just ultimately, though, this conversation, we're going to get to your calls here in a second, 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump in on this Sabres goalie conversation. It feels like it all points back to the same main character of this conversation every year, or the last few years, mm-hmm. Levi. It feels like Levi eventually has to take the reins, and then if Levi can, and if you have a 37, 38-year-old James Reimer as your backup, that's a really good situation.
And that's why I say to the UPL stands out there, it's time to have a tough conversation about UPL as a Sabre.
You wonder, though, how much you...
Because if you could trade him...
What you're going to get for trading him.
If you trade him for a veteran goaltender, you better hope that you're able to sell youth
mm-hmm.
and get something else in return.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Is that it cannot be like this simple, I'm trading UPL for a veteran goaltender thing. It's going to have to be part of a bigger, complicated, more nuanced trade.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of trade that I've yet to see Kevin Adams pull, which is kind of what I'm excited for.
I'm glad you're excited for it.
Ready? He has done a good job when he pulls the trigger on moves.
Mm-hmm.
It is the lack of the pulling the trigger on moves that is my biggest frustration with him. Or the yeah. when.
Yes.
Recognizing when is the time to do it. 2 years ago was that time, even for the goaltender conversation that we're having right now. 2 years ago was the time to do it. And be it circumstance or just sticking with you guys, it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And now goaltender, 2 years later, we're having the same conversation we did two years ago.
Yeah, it
stinks.
Yeah, the wheel keeps turning.
Yes, and... Based on the screening here, when we go to Mark in Buffalo, I do like the point he's about to bring up.
Yep. Mark, first up today, how are we doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Let me jump in on your goalie conversation. Bear with me. Let's get to Robin Lehner first.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It was really not an overpayment for Robin Lehner. Someone in the organization missed something. Wasn't he bipolar and needed medication and mm-hmm. went to Vegas and won a Vezina trophy? Oh, and then hurt now, yeah, he's whatever, he hasn't been around.
Yep.
But so Robin Lehner was the real deal in that aspect. Someone in the organization and the medical staff missed that. He needed mental help or something. And we had the goalie, and they took care of the goalie, took care of both of his hips through operations and waited for him. His name was Linus Allmark.
Yep.
And don't blame Kevin Adams. Kevin Adams offered Linus Allmark the exact same money, a little bit more for a 5 or 6 year deal that the Boston Bruins gave him, and he chose to go to Boston. That's not Kevin Adams' fault.
Yep.
And let's get to Devon Levi. Let's not blame Kevin Adams on him either, okay? Devon Levi came here, what you guys mentioned, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. In the last 10 games he played, he almost made the playoffs. He looked like he was going to be the next coming of Patrick Waugh, Roy, whatever you want to call him. For whatever reason, they banked on him the next year. It didn't happen. Their hands were stuck. And let's get to Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. His hands were tied this year. The guy looked like he finally made that jump and progressed yep. to being the goalie that you think he could be, and he's not. So, guys, I'll hang up and listen. I love the Sabres. I love the Bills. I'm a lifelong Bills. It's just so frustrating because, you know what, 9 points out of the playoffs, you guys mentioned it last night, just have the puck bounce your way 3 times in that 13-game losing streak,
mm-hmm.
and the way they're playing now, they're in. guys, I'll hang up and listen. You know, you guys are young. You guys got a good to look forward to. You know, let me tell you, there was nothing like the two Stanley Cup finals, even though we lost them both. The feeling, you guys, I hope you guys get to feel it and a win. I got to get to a parade one time before I pass on. My mom and dad's ashes are on the shelf waiting to go to parade, sir. I'm Buffalo all the way. I mean, they're my teams. I love them. I'll hang up, guys.
Mark, thanks for the call, brother.
Mark, thank you. And it ultimately goes back to what I said here, which was I don't fully blame Kevin Adams. I'm frustrated, but also I kind of get it.
Yeah. Leonard, though, did not win a Vezina. He was in the voting.
So, Leonard, though, and Mark helped set the record straight a little bit here. Mm-hmm. The results were there. It was just the value. Was he worth ultimately a first rounder? Yes. Did they need to pay it? Probably not. That was my problem.
Right.
That was, that's always been my problem. My buddy Nick and I will have screaming matches about this until the end of our days. But it is still always for me, goalies ultimately are weird to nail down. He mentions Ullmark. Absolutely. And the problem with Ullmark is he was around the team for too long. They were not getting anywhere.
Yeah, and when Boston comes
calling. So when a similar contract comes up from one of the better teams in the league, you're going to go there.
Yeah,
a little bit less of money than what Buffalo's offering.
Yeah, we talk about that with other players, forwards, defensemen, what have you. It was that situation with a goaltender who was in your organization but was like, the Boston Bruins
are calling me.
And he had one of the better seasons we've seen in recent memories. They were record-breaking in the right now. Playoff Ullmark aside, we would hope to
playoff
get there
Ullmark happened because he was injured.
Yeah.
And that one was on the coach not pulling him out of the lineup soon enough.
Yeah.
And sticking with him when he was clearly injured in a game 6 against Florida that he would ultimately lose. They go to Swayman, it was too late.
Yeah, but that 22-23 season, the record-breaking season for Boston regular season, he has 40 wins, 6 losses, a .938 save percentage, and a 1.89 goals against.
Look at him now.
Unbelievable.
He gets traded from Boston.
Yeah, goes to Ottawa.
Are we all that surprised that Boston is now tumbling? Linus Ullmark doesn't have the greatest numbers in Ottawa this year, but he is part of the reason that they are succeeding.
Yeah, he's a big reason why they've been able to take that step forward. Again, Ottawa and Buffalo sort of mirror images of each other during this, last 6-7 years of just both trying to figure it out, having young cores, trying to do their best.
And now Boston is 3 points ahead of Buffalo.
Yeah, they've lost 7 in a row. I believe it's 7 in a row now. They're having a tough time. And also looking real quick here, before we take our first time out, Devin Levi, those 7 games that he came up for. I mentioned it's the best he's played in Buffalo, and the stats point to it. 7 games played, a .294 goals against, and a save percentage of .905.
Which is...
And he was 5-2 in those games.
Yeah.
He was very, very good. The next year, under .900, plays 23 games, .310 goals against, and then the 9 games he's played this year, his stats ultimately go to .412 goals against and an .872 save percentage. Rochester, though, a complete... opposite story.
And if you want to find a way to like dive into the analytics of things, of goals saved above expected, Devin Levi, when he's been up for these last couple of years, it is in the sewers.
Yeah.
And that still goes back to goalies are weird. Ultimately, goalies are so weird. Are they or are they not?
Look at him
Josh.
Smiling. Look at him smiling in there.
Don't discriminate.
Wait, I'm Josh.
don't discriminate against weird goalies. We're all going to stop the puck
at
the end of the day.
I love all of you, okay? You're all just a little weird, like me.
803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump in on the Sabres goaltender conversation, where they sit right now in the NHL. Jerry, we'll get to you if you hang on here after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.
Sabres back in the Pittsburgh zone here as Dahlin will leave it for Rosé. Far circle shot scores! Great pass and a finish by Samuelson. And it's 4-1 Buffalo.
Dan Dunleavy there on the call. Matias Samuelson, one of the goal scorers last night. I knew something had happened. I mentioned I was not watching the game. I was watching college basketball. Josh texted me Matias Samuelson, all caps. And I was like, oh, he scored. I know for a fact that's what happened.
No, as a matter of fact, you knew what kind of night it was going to be because if I talked to a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, all I would have had to say is, oh, first shot, Jari showed up again.
Ooh.
Tristan Jarry has a toxic trait of letting in a goal in the first or second shot way too often.
I mean, he's bad. He's bad.
And the Sabres got him last night, immediately score on him with Tage dragging a poor Penguins defender. That one was cool.
Those are arguably maybe my favorite Tage goals. Like
when,
I like
when
the
he
ones
puts someone on roller skates.
Yeah. And I like the ones when he's dangling in front of the net and he like literally gets to like 2 inches from the goalie before sliding it in.
Letang
the one where he drags the stick and then just fires it right in the middle. That's a lot of fun.
Letang tries to pinch on the boards and he steps up and it immediately backfires because Tage is able to get the puck and then he is all alone at that point. The defenseman has Benson who's driving.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because he's not in a position to really defend Tage, Tage then does that drag into the slot, changes the shot angle, and first shot Jarry.
So cool. So cool.
And then they just were off to the races from there. Matias Samuelsson scores, as you heard in the clip there. That was such a slick pass from Isaac Rosén that, man, that guy deserves more NHL look before the AHL playoffs.
Was that his first NHL point? I think I saw that yesterday. It was. Okay, cool. Good, great for him.
And it's a sick and slick play to get your first NHL point. And something that Rosén is an interesting factor here with the Sabres because of the fact that he has not had a lot of and a lot of NHL time, excuse me. But Kulik with 2 goals, you're starting to see again, hey, those guys that were the organization was loud about.
Yeah.
You can get loud about them again.
Also, real quick, Tyson Kozak on a 3-game point streak. He had 2 last night, a goal and an assist.
And Kozak is a guy who's starting to really argue for...
He should be here next year.
He should be here next year.
7th-round pick in 2021, baby. Let's go.
Like, absolutely. Don't sign another guy like a Sam Lafferty next year. Like, we don't need to.
No.
We've got Kozak coming up here.
Yeah, I mean, good for him. 803-0550, the number to call. We did promise we're going to get to your calls here. Let's get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Jerry is up next. Jerry, how are we doing on this fine morning?
Good. You know, the Levi thing was a Hail Mary. No one makes that jump to college to the pros anymore and plays like immediately. You're right about goaltenders. Even like the Marty Berdurs, they weren't significant players in the league till they were like 24, 25 years old. They take much longer to mature. It was a Hail Mary pass. My biggest concern with this team is this. You know, in sports and in general and in life, how do you measure someone's level of compete? And what you have on this team right now are a bunch of people in their early 20s that have a lot of money and really long off seasons. And they struggle in the defensive end. They struggle defending each other when things go wrong. That just makes me think there just isn't a level of compete on this team. They just, how badly do you want to win? And they can say in the presser afterwards, it starts with me, but you know, it doesn't seem to work out that way. You want players that compete at the highest levels all the time and never want to lose. And this team just doesn't have that feel about it.
No, and Jerry, I concur with that. I agree. I've mentioned it a lot that I can't listen to the post-game press conferences. I can't listen to locker cleanout anymore because it's the same thing over and over again with nothing changing. And it really, it does bother me. It really, really does to just kind of hear the same song and dance, maybe some different words thrown in there, but it ultimately feels, it has begun to feel hollow at this point. I will disagree a little bit on the Levi thing. I think, yes, you could argue it was a Hail Mary. I don't think the Sabres would have felt as confident if it weren't for those final 7 games. He came up from Northeastern and did that. I think
that is the weird part.
I think there was a genuine feeling like, oh, he's different.
The problem was you didn't sign a true veteran stopper that could be there in case of failure.
I don't think they planned on doing that until he played like that in those 7 games to end the year. Then it was, okay, he's a different breed.
We might actually play him now.
Yeah.
Or they're probably thinking, oh, we got our Shesterkin.
Yeah, where it's just we got it.
Highly touted prospect. He shows up here and he's already doing some nice things.
The level of compete, though, too, and this is where it's also going to be, it's become the running joke where, I mean, Derek, you mentioned it too. Like, they're playing really good in March. Of course they are.
I don't know what it is about the pressure of the beginning of the season with this team and why they don't get off to good starts. Because this core, it is the good, it's the bad starts.
Yeah.
That's what it is. This isn't like, hey, this team win, and this happened with a different core, where they won 10 games in a row to start the year. They had dynamite starts to seasons before, and then they would ultimately collapse. And then you get the famous quote from Bottrell of meaningful games in March. This core seems to get off to poor starts overall over the first 3 months. And the worst part about it is they almost stuck the landing. Because for 2 months, they were good. They were second place or challenging for second place in the Atlantic Division. And then the month of December hit them like a bus. Maybe 13 buses.
We should have a caller in that first segment, too. And he mentioned, like, if just
they get anything. Three of those games to turn their results, they're in contention. And Lindy said it in front of season ticket holders this week.
Yes.
Of, you don't lose 13 games and come back from that.
No,
and your biggest challenge is telling your guys, no, believe in yourselves. Make sure, like, you got to pick these guys up at this point because you are losing 10 games in a row now. Now it's to 11. When are we going to win? Because that pressure mounts more and more and more and more. Yes, they get paid millions of dollars. It still doesn't mean that they're robots. You're going to look at this and go, we've lost 11 bleeping games in a row. What gives? Then they lose the Boston game. And it's like, how? We outplayed them. We were like, better
what is
than
happening?
Them.
Yeah.
And we still lost. What is going on? That's where it all comes from. And I do think, ultimately, what Lindy said is correct. And that's where, again, my gripe with Kevin Adams comes in, of knowing when to strike and try to make a move, try to make a difference.
Because
Kevin Adams says, you don't make the playoffs in December. Well, the bad news is you certainly can miss the playoffs in December, because the Buffalo Sabres, over the last 3 years, have done that.
Yeah, that's when they've missed the playoffs. They've dug themselves too big of a hole. We mentioned it a few weeks ago when we were on, too, is like they have a lot of games in hand that they can, quote-unquote, catch some of these teams. They still do. A team like Pittsburgh, I think, is still 3 games up on them. But they're still last.
Both Pittsburgh
in
and Philly.
East.
They've played the second least amount of games in the entire conference, Columbus being the other one, who, if they win their game in hand, they can make a playoff spot.
Yeah, which great for them. That story is awesome.
But at the same time, to be far away enough that you're 9 points out of a playoff spot, you're 7 points back of Columbus, and your roster should have been ahead of them, and you lose 13 games in a row. That is something, as the coach says, you typically don't come back from that.
No, and I thought the quote you were going to say from Lindy, too, was him talking about the patience that Adams had, because usually the 13-game losing streak, the coach is fired.
Yes.
And him, I saw the quote of him saying that, and I'm like, Lindy, honestly, if it was anybody else, probably they do get fired.
Yeah.
If it weren't for you being Lindy Ruff.
Oh, yeah. Because then that's
you're
disrespect
probably,
to a
you're probably
Sabres
right.
Legend.
Yeah. And I didn't – I don't mean that maliciously. I don't mean that, like, negatively towards Ruff. But, like
– to be fired within a year –
not even. What would that have been? 3 months into his new tenure with the Sabres?
Yeah, and that would. But it would have looked like, one, more knee-jerk reaction.
Yep.
From an organization that never has any stability to it, and people would be looking at that, going, Terry, you're making too much moves again.
Yeah, you're doing too much.
You're doing too much again. And then other people would look at it and go, you blatantly disrespected one of your legends because of, it's a ghastly losing streak. But at the same time, we have seen teams fire coaches for less nowadays.
Teams that are in playoff spots, but they're not as good.
I will say,
goodness.
Hey, Boston, how does that take?
Boston,
because
yeah.
Boston fired their coach into the, like, I think it was like a month into the season.
Mm-hmm.
And then ultimately it's proven, no, Don Sweeney's just bad at building rosters and has been carried by Marchand, Pastrnak, and then Linus Ullmark, apparently.
The goaltending tandem, yeah.
So maybe he is the problem. And with Buffalo, it is the same thing of, you got to find out what the problem is and figure it out. Goaltenders, Jerry laments it too there. goaltenders, they're tough to figure out. They really are.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that I'm going to forgive a general manager. You ultimately have a job to do. At the same time, man, it is never an easy hand. You're winning poker games with like 8 high when it comes to goaltenders sometimes. Mm-hmm.
It's total bluff.
Yeah.
It's a total bluff. You're staring death in the face going, I really hope he doesn't see me sweat.
I feel good right now. Oh, yeah? You folded? I had an 8.
It's just – it is also –
How sorry of a hand would that be, by the way, that like an 8 would win?
I mean, that's where I've watched a lot of Westerns the last few days. Like, that's the kind of hand that gets you shot.
Yeah.
That's the hand that in the movie they call you a cheat and they shoot you.
They just lean back like I'm literally doing the chair. Just
that's exactly that hand that gets you get called a cheat and you're put down. There's no other way around it. I did want to make this point about Levi here real quick before we take our next time out. Kind of about like his stats as well. He is maybe my favorite prospect the Sabres have right now because I think he's so interesting. You look at his AHL numbers both
They're
this year.
Otherworldly.
And I've heard some people bring up, like, is he just going to be a great AHL player? He would be the best goaltender in the league year in and year out if this is what he is. And if he somehow can't crack the NHL and just be solid, good, man, that is some bad luck. I can't even totally say that's on you. Like, that is some bad luck. He was historically good in college. He's unbelievable in the AHL. Like, that's where I still have confidence somewhat in this organization because if you just get a good goaltender for a year, you make the playoffs. Yes. The Sabres just haven't been able to find that in a year stretch. If he somehow can't give you that, I'd be stunned.
Yeah, and I do think that the patience is the right way to play this now. They have looked back on this and said, maybe this should have been the goal from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Sometimes you want the lesson to be learned right away of, yeah, I can't promise you that you're going to start right away, Devin Levi. You're going to the AHL.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You typically want the lesson to be learned that way. But if it works, well, hey, I'll take a wrong methods to getting the right result.
Yeah, as long as I get to the right result. 803-0550, the number to call. John, we'll get to you after a quick timeout. If you hang on the line, Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Hour number one rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging out with you. Do want to mention this before we get to our next caller. Coverage of the NCAA Championship Tournament on WGR and the Bet 1520 is brought to you by Window Nation. For your window needs, visit windownation.com. Yesterday's games were over on the Bet 1520. Tonight, starting at 7, they're going to be over here on WGR.
I'm nervous.
Man, I hope we actually have some good games. Ole Miss versus Michigan State, Kentucky and Tennessee, Michigan, Auburn, and then the game Derek is very nervous about. One, I also have a rooting interest in Purdue and Houston. Purdue, they 4-seed.
Oh, you're also boiling up with me?
I am not. I have some
Judas.
I have some connections to Houston.
Dead to me.
Judas.
So good.
Judas. So
you're dead to me.
So my favorite thing you have is a Purdue hockey jersey.
It's drip personified.
I love it so much. I have no Houston apparel. My dad went there for a year in college, and that is what kept me. But now anytime Houston basketball plays a game, some point in the day, I'll just – whose house? Cook's house. Are you happy? Then I have to hit
he
the
He says
horns.
While wearing a Texas hat.
What's what I'm saying?
Judas.
And then I have to hit the hook 'em horns, but I'm like, all right, I'm under your roof. I get it. Okay, I'll play along. But I have to root for them. I love the program they built.
I don't have another college I cheer
for.
I know.
I'm sorry.
And it's tragic because Purdue has more tournament wins this year than football wins.
It's awesome.
For the record, Purdue has won 2 basketball games in the tournament. For those at home keeping score, there is no bandwagoning a Purdue Boilermaker. I'm just going to let you know right now.
Oh, no.
We have our Lord and Savior Drew Breeses, and that's it.
That's it. That's all it is.
Everything else is death.
They had one good game against Ohio State like 2 years ago.
Last year they make the championship. I'm like, you almost had it. But what did they do before that?
Fairleigh Dickinson
ostensibly pooped their pants.
Yeah, Fairleigh Dickinson happened. Which, like, is the bigger upset of the two. UMBC over Virginia, Fairleigh Dickinson over Purdue. That's objectively the bigger upset. Virginia lost their best player before the tournament, DeAndre Hunter.
Yes.
That's why they did they lose by a bigger margin? I believe so. But Fairleigh Dickinson didn't even win their conference tournament. It was the rules based off, I think, Merrimack coming up from D2. They physically couldn't go to the tournament, so the runner-up got in. And then they upset Purdue.
Yeah. There's no, it's tough, there's no bandwagoning enjoying Purdue, but I still try to do it.
That game starts at 10 or is projected to start at 10.
You know what's the hardest thing to do in college football 25? Build up the Purdue program. They're the worst in the Big Ten.
It's with Northwestern in there, too. They don't even have a stadium. They don't even – which, that's fun in that game, by the way. Hawaii also has a very small stadium, but they have, like, one that they're going to quote-unquote build. I guess construction in Hawaii takes forever. Like, it's all slow. But so the game gives you the rendering of this stadium that they project is going to be a thing. Northwestern also has a stadium that they're going to build. They just aren't there right now. And the game is like, no. You get your, like, 15,000-person stadium.
Yep.
Ha. Be in your cold
weather.
With
a track around the...
Bunch of nerds.
Yep.
I'm like, that's mean, guys. Like, come on. Give them their nice stadium.
I mean, Northwestern, to their credit, though, is in the Big Ten.
So definitely give them their nice stadium. Hawaii's in the Mountain West, not even good. Yeah. Why do they get their nice stadium that's not going to be built?
Don't you slander the Mountain West.
Because it's Hawaii.
Don't you dare slander the Mountain
West. How do
you not
sell Hawaii?
That's right. God, great jerseys. They are bad, though. They are not good. I do like the Mountain West. Boise State's good. Wyoming has Josh Allen.
There you go. I was
Jaylen
waiting for
Royals,
it.
Jaylen Royals, Utah State wide receiver. That's my favorite receiver for the Bills to go get in the second round. That's my guy.
It took you
guy.
That yeah. long to mention Wyoming?
I was going to get there.
They're top of the list.
Hang on.
I was going to get there.
What's Wyoming? My name? Who's what? The guy that went to Wyoming? Come on. Think about it.
Hang on. What have you done for me lately?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wyoming.
Colorado State won a game in the NCAA tournament. Mountain West, love.
Yeah.
There we go. San Diego State did not. You made North Carolina feel something for a little bit, and for that, I will never respect you again. 803-0550, the number to call. John, we'll get to you after a quick timeout. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Byram out of the corner. Kulik up top. Scores! What a shot! Jiří Kulik! And it's 5-1 Buffalo.
Jiří Kulik had two goals last night as the Sabres went away winning. They scored on their first shot and they didn't really stop from there. 7-3 against Pittsburgh last night. A fun little time there if you were at the arena for, it was Pride Night there as well. Based on how they played, make every night Pride Night, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, if you're going to put up seven goals.
If you're going to put up seven goals every time, just keep it going. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I'm Derek Kramer. That's Zach Jones. Josh Schmidt on the board here with us as well, providing the tunes, the highlights, and the inside look of a goaltender's mind. So...
That's nice. Thank you for that. It's a good contribution.
If you're wondering what it looks like, it's just a hamster on a wheel. At least mine is, anyway. I don't want to discredit anyone else out there.
It's a hamster on the wheel.
Yeah. But anyway. Sabres, though, going away winning last night and coming into one of their most frustrating phases, which is they're out of playoff contention and they're looking cool again.
Water's wet. We're back again.
Yes. It's one of their most frustrating traits.
The sun, in fact, rose today. I know the clouds are kind of covering it.
Hot take, water's not wet. It makes things wet.
Goodness.
We don't have time for this. Because we promised John that we would get to him, and we have a chance to do that here.
So let's start the segment off.
Let's start the segment off with John in Buffalo. John, how you doing? Welcome to the Extra Point Show.
How are you guys?
Oh, we're hanging. We're vibing.
Might be 50 today, so I'm excited.
I just have a couple quick comments, personal observations as I watch the Sabres this year. Mm-hmm. I think their main problem is when they're in a 5-on-5 situation and the other team has the puck in our end. We go into this zone defense, and the other team just keeps passing the puck back to their point men freely. We can't get the puck out of our own end. I don't know how you guys feel about that. And the other thing I think the problem is, this is more of a player problem, just sloppy passing. Took a little more time to pass instead of just trying to get it out of the end, and the other team intercepts it. I'm fine with Lindy Ruff, the office. I don't know much about those guys. The players, they're good players, you know, and they're exciting to watch. But, you know, if they could just stop playing zone defense in your own end. I see the better teams in the league, they'll charge the man and they'll stay with them. They stay closer to the players and they get the puck away from them. But we can't do that. It's almost like we have a 4-on-5 situation. But I'm going to hang up and listen to your comments. Thanks for letting me talk.
John, I appreciate the call. And to go off of it, sometimes when you're playing a zone set, you need to have discipline. And if you suddenly start chasing the puck, then it is heavily compromised. And all it takes is one mental gaffe from someone to have that opening caused. And that's where a lot of high danger chances are going to start stemming from, is someone sees an opportunity to try to get the puck, and the next thing you know, it's over like that. The other way it happens is if a forward is not doing his due diligence up top, that's when the point man is going to have time and space.
Yeah.
And in the NHL, time and space is very unrecognizable at times. But you see it on a play like Rozane getting the puck at the top of the zone yesterday. He sees Matias Samuelsson creeping. How does that happen? There's a breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
Someone does not recognize that they need to go with him. And Samuelsson, in the circle, all by himself, gets a beautiful pass. And Samuelsson's able to bury this thing. It's breakdowns. Breakdowns happen. These guys are human. You're going to be taught something and then go, oh, I have a chance.
Yeah, it does, you know, I don't really have the stats to point this out, but it does appear that that happens a lot for the Sabres. They break down, what have you. I remember last year.
It takes discipline, and sometimes it takes a lot of discipline. You need to have that.
I remember, too, when they traded for Bo Byram, yeah, and when he first came over, and how the power play.
Yes.
You saw how radically he had changed them just from coming over to Colorado and still doing those things. Him constantly moving on the power play and the crisp passing and such, and just the constant danger chances. I think that's a big part of the Sabres, too. They stand still too much.
Yes.
And that, I think, is where you get breakdowns on the 5-on-5, the zone defense, what have you. I mean, in terms of goals against per game, they're fourth in the league.
They have the speed.
The teams that only beat them are San Jose, Pittsburgh, and Chicago.
They have the speed to operate a little bit more of a man style. But again, if you're chasing,
mm-hmm,
breakdowns happen. And in man, you're going to be chasing.
Yeah.
You are going to be. It is a guarantee. You have a player, and what happens if you lose that player?
Yep. And then you see breakdowns really across.
You're talking about goaltender's got a one-on-one situation all of a sudden in the slot, and he's not winning that.
No, and that's where you also bring up like the goaltender situation they have now, that's where you got to make a save. Like I know they didn't put you in a good spot. You got to make a save, and they haven't had a lot of those opportunities, but they haven't had a lot of those go their way this year. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen kind of has fallen off.
On your penalty kill, your best defender has to be your goaltender. I'm not saying that to like make this of some sort of like hindsight comment. That is the philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Your best defender on a penalty kill needs to be your goalie, because there is going to be someone open. There is going to be a beautiful look out there. There is going to be an opportune chance that comes, because you have to stay disciplined and they're going to find an opening if you don't.
Yep.
That said, your goaltender needs to be better when you're shorthanded. That's why they've had such problems with it this year, is because of the fact that they're not getting that goaltending. Last year they did. The penalty kill was not on the high list, the long list of problems last year. Power play is.
Yeah. Buffalo,
but the
this year
kill is not.
Buffalo this year has found themselves in the penalty kill 215 times. That's good for tied fourth in the league. Their penalty kill percentage, though, kind of says a lot with the teams they're with. 76.7%. The highest of this group is the Rangers at 81%. So, they go on the penalty kill. It's not like they're getting scored on every single time.
No.
But it is one of the lower ones in the league. Carolina leads the league at 84.6%. Buffalo's
towards the bottom, but not at the bottom. They're kind of more towards.
But if you're towards the bottom, yeah. you cannot take the most penalty minutes in the league.
Yeah, because
that is where they are. They yeah. have the most penalty minutes in the league. The fact that they're 21st based on how they play is actually, I'm not going to say a good thing, but like you could be a lot worse than that with the amount of times that you have this. Their power play, oh man, I looked at that percentage and it made me depresso.
The power play percentage?
Yes.
That's like, something too, and to John's point, bringing up the passing, that's something that has bothered me where, yeah, you do see a lot of teams just kind of be very aggressive towards the Sabres and force bad passes. They have bad passes often.
There was one, Paterka made one at the on the power play last night, and it was like, oh, that's not good.
Did they go 0 for 4 last night?
They did. McLeod yeah. had one that could have gone horribly wrong. He gets a pass from Darlene, and it looks like he wants McLeod, who's open, mm-hmm. to skate that thing in. He stops at the blue line, tries to make a pass to Darlene, and it's intercepted, and Reimer has to make a big save.
Nice to get a save every now and then.
Yeah. But the thing is, the Buffalo Sabres, mm-hmm. they haven't allowed the most amount of shorthanded goals, but you see it every time where it's like, yeah, this is not good. Do you know who has given up the most shorthanded goals this year? The New York Rangers. 14.
Huh. How many of the Sabres given up to you?
Have six.
Oh, wow. I would have assumed that number was way higher.
Yeah. The Rangers have given up 14 of them.
Huh.
Oh, my God.
By the way, on the penalty kill stat, I do want to bring this up here. So the lowest percentage is Detroit, 68.8%. Also only been on the penalty kill 167 times, which I want to see if that is the lowest in the league. That is near the lowest in the league. That's fourth lowest. Seattle, 165. The Islanders, 155. And everyone's favorite villain, Vegas, 145.
Everyone's favorite villain.
Yeah? I wish my favorite team operated like Las Vegas. I don't really care how people feel about that. I wish they did. I'm all about win. Let's go. If you're going to make some other teams in opposite sides of the coast upset, so be it.
It's nice that they were put in a position to be able to just win.
I agree.
That's the part that, like, yeah, it's great that you're able to operate like that, but you kind of got lucky on that front too.
Oh, absolutely. But they also they tasted a little bit of success in that first year and have basically been like—
They tasted a lot of success.
We are now defined final. By that forever. Yeah.
They made the cup final their first year.
Also, Steve tweets in, I'm a positive person to a fault, but I have seen some signs of change with the Sabres and Kevin Adams. Resigning Greenway and Zucker without a huge overpay is not the norm. Guys are also developing in the AHL and not forced into NHL roles like the past. Now, this is going to be, I think, a big thing throughout the offseason. Now go sign Marner.
Go sign Mitch Marner. As a matter of fact, something that I said with Brian Colziel on Saturday, Brian made the pitch on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Bring Josh Allen with you. Marner's a noted Bills fan.
He's a known Bills fan. So
bring Josh Allen with you to talk to Mitch Marner and go, just look at what this guy is in this city because they're good.
I was going to say, I think he can overall just be a really good recruiting tool in the fact of, like, look what happens when you're good.
Now, that said, ready?
Beloved.
People will say, detractors will say, but he's soft. He plays a soft style.
Mm-hmm.
He's too flashy of a guy. I don't care. You're a top five in the league scoring threat. Available for the top dollar. Get him.
I think also for me too.
Get him and don't apologize for it.
I'll deal with the playoff issues with Marner and stuff like that.
By making the playoffs.
A few times. Like I don't want to like have to start thinking about like not only just making the playoffs, but like winning a cup. Like, they've got to break this drought. They've got to get over this hump before we start talking about a cup or anything like that. So for me, like if you overpay for Marner, whatever, you're going to have to get guys like him anyways.
And
that
Brian
is what it
and is. I, we had a really nice discussion leading into the Sabres game on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
They would prompt to put up an ugly game, but you know that's neither here nor there. But we had a really nice discussion about how even ownership can try to start being looked at in another favorable light about. Remember how Pegula went on an airplane and flew out to talk to Robin Regier to waive a no-trade clause from Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
Just do something like that again. Just be publicly seen as, you know, hey, we're going to bring Josh Allen with us on the recruiting trail for Mitchell Marner. Awesome. You go ahead and sign Mitch Marner. That also tells fans, alone,
You're serious.
Yes, that's right.
You actually do care about this team, because that's the perception. I don't think it's true. Man is a hockey fan first. But it's something that people have an opinion of, and I don't blame them for it, because the optics do not look good on him.
Yep.
Very often with the Sabres. It was his birthday yesterday. I got to tell you, Bill's admin was probably over the moon having to post that. Sabres admin, not so much.
Did not look at the comments.
Sabres admin posted that and walked away until it was game day.
Yep. It's like, I'm going to go take an early lunch.
He's like, I have to make sure I tweet about this game tonight. I'm going to put this here, and I'm going to take a break.
I am going to leave no one
tell
me if I get notifications.
And that's the duality of ownership with Terry Pegula.
Yep.
Like, even the Bandits admin. Hey, happy birthday, Pegula. Yeah. Thanks for having one of the best lacrosse teams. There's one fan base that really wants to go after this man, and I don't blame them for it.
Yeah.
But just make sure you're coming correct. That's all. Because there's a lot of reasons to have ire toward Pegula as a Sabres fan.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure you're using the right ones.
It feels like every offseason, the last three, 4 years, the last three, four offseasons have been like the most important. But like for me, I think now I would probably, if I were ownership, I'd fire Kevin Adams. If you're asking me.
Yes.
You've gotten 5 years and they're bottom of the conference. You're out. You're done. This does feel like a moment with guys like Marner potentially being out there. And the fact that, I mean, if you're going to get another shot at this, which it appears to be true, because he was able to trade away a core piece that he had signed to a contract on trade deadline day. Damn the Torpedoes. Go for it, man. Honestly, go for it. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose?
You get a
5 years
like
and nothing. You're not getting another general manager's position in the NHL. Go for it.
Yes. And ready? Going for it for a player like Marner in free agency is different than a desperate general manager having to make a trade in the offseason. Because if there's a last stand general manager making a trade, it's typically disastrous.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes even with free agent signings. However, you sign a player like Marner, you also have a valuable tool now for potential recruiting. If you succeed in signing Marner, you then get to say, yeah, kind of like Columbus did with Johnny Gaudreau. Yeah, big name player, wanted to sign here. Things are not totally gone. And while tragedy did strike with Gaudreau, the Columbus Blue Jackets, though, in that moment, it was a monumental moment for the franchise. Someone chose here. Someone chose to come to Columbus. That was a big deal. Not just because of the type of player that Johnny Gaudreau was. It was also, there was other money being thrown around, and he chose that place. That's a big deal. And if Marner were to sign with the Sabres, you're sending a similar message.
Yeah, it doesn't matter like how much you end up spending. It's the fact that you would get the notification from all of the insiders and then eventually the Sabres. Mitch Marner signing with the Sabres for whatever. That changes the temperature
for
the room.
For Buku Bucks, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but who cares?
I mentioned a lot with football how much the quarterback changes the temperature in the room. A guy like that would do it as well.
Because you're also telling your team right now, hey, this is it. We believe in you. We got this player. This is the same message I said 2 years ago, and it's the same message I'm going to profess now. You sign a player to add to this core, add to the core. You're telling the players in the locker room that you said the answers are there.
Yeah.
You're telling those players, you are the answer. We've added someone to help you. Let's go. Time is now. It's time is now or never, actually. Because if we can't do it with this, what the hell are we doing?
Well, yeah, and that's sort of my fear that they're going down. We'll see, because I think they could actually be in on Marner if they really want to go pay big. It felt like they needed to win with this core to really fix their image in the NHL, and it has not gone well up to this point yet.
Yep.
But yeah, if you do sign a guy like Marner, all of a sudden, like maybe some of those no trade clauses in the middle of the year next year, if they're playing well,
they go, hey, we have a chance to
adjust that actually. Yeah, adjust that. I can go play with Tage, Dahlin, and Marner. And if Kulik and Peterka continue to come up,
that's also a different way to say your top three players.
Yeah.
Because who's the third best player on the Buffalo Sabres right now?
In terms of points, Peterka. Are we saying it's him?
I like JJ. Tuck is probably your other player that you nominate for this.
Yeah.
But I think it hits harder. Nothing against Peterka and Tuck. But it hits a lot harder if you say top three players are Tage, Dahlin, and Marner.
Yeah.
I'm saying them in the wrong order, but I don't care. Because I do think Rasmus Dahlin is absolutely, bar and away, the best player on the Buffalo Sabres, even if you sign Mitch Marner. But this allows you an opportunity to make a statement. And am I probably going to die on this hill? Yes. But it's probably the best idea that you have, because Coolsy and I were talking about this. 40% of NHLers are from like the Southern Ontario region or Ontario itself.
Yeah.
If you want to come play in a city where you don't have to deal with the Toronto media and the media circus that is there in hockey Mecca, but you also don't want to be playing too far away from home, this should be an answer.
Yep.
But because they've lost 14 years in a row and missed the playoffs 14 years in a row, that recruiting tool is currently gone. But how do you land Jeff Skinner?
Overpay a little bit.
How do you land him, though, in the trade? He was excited because he was playing near home in Buffalo.
I didn't realize that many NHLers, by the way, were from Southern Ontario.
It's a good number.
That's a lot.
There's a healthy number.
That is a lot.
Why? Because Toronto.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's such a large populace. It is a hockey crazy place. Hamilton is also an incredible city with a lot of hockey knowledge and background. They just don't have a pro team.
That's such a large number, though. 40%, that is a huge number.
Kozio said it, not me. I don't know where he got the number from.
I believe it.
But Kozio also typically comes correct.
Yeah, I was going to say, I believe it. It's just
Brian never talks out of the side of his mouth. I know that.
It's just, you sign a guy like Marner. And then we mentioned the goaltenders, too. I mean, if Levi can take like a solid step forward in the NHL next year, because I do think, I don't want to say next year's got to be the year, but you've had two dominant seasons in the AHL. It looks like they're going to go on a long Calder Cup playoff run this year if things go correctly. You know, if all of a sudden he's solid next year, then you mentioned their top three players. Actually, all of a sudden, the vibes don't feel that off. Yes, they're in, what are we now, 13, 14 straight years without making the playoffs?
It's going to be 14, yes.
It's going to be 14. Doesn't feel like that when if you're saying that, if that's the lineup.
Right.
It doesn't feel like that. But we got to get to there. 803-0550, the number to call. We haven't talked much football at all today. I do want to mention that, especially there was an Adam Schefter, not report, but I guess like kind of like a phrasing he said about where maybe the Cleveland Browns are going. Feels a little strange compared to what their quarterback situation is. I want to touch on that as well. If you want to join the conversation, again, number 803-0550, the number to call. Sabres football, UB women as well. Do you want to touch on that before we run out of time here? Zach Jones and Derek Kramer. This is WGR.
Abdul Carter's going to go before the New England Patriots pick at four. It'd be an upset right now if Abdul Carter made his way to number four. I would handicap Abdul Carter right now as the likely pick at number two. Today, we reserve the right to change our mind. A lot of things change, but the way this is shaking out to me, it looks like he's tracking to be a Brown, and let's see how it plays out.
That is Adam Schefter from a few days ago talking about what he's hearing right now at the top of the draft. I find it interesting. It appears, and whoever he was talking to mentioned it's fluid. Appears he's hearing Penn State edge rusher Abdul Carter going to the Browns at two, and that the draft really starts at number three with the New York Giants, with Tennessee, it appears, going to take Miami Hurricanes quarterback Cam Ward. We are 27 days, 8 hours, 28 minutes, 27 minutes and 58 seconds. Thanks, Tankathon, away from the first round of the NFL draft.
What are you counting?
And I'm interested in that move. If we're sitting here,
it makes it even funnier considering the money that they just gave to Myles Garrett.
See, that's why I like it. If we're sitting here, pick two happens and it's Abdul Carter. I think objectively, talent wise, not a bad pick. Not a bad pick.
Yes.
And then if you tell me, ooh, Carter on one side, Myles Garrett on the other, you're sitting there going, oh, okay, yes. You tell me Kenny Pickett started quarterback, I'm like, oh, whoa, ooh. No, but what if we kept hearing about this draft class?
What if I instead said Kenny Pickett starting at quarterback? All I have to say is not Deshaun Watson.
Well, not Deshaun Watson, which is probably going to be better.
It hits harder.
It hits harder. I wish it was Jameis Winston. I had so much fun, but that's neither here nor there. You're right. It's better than Deshaun Watson, but I hear that, and my mind is immediately gone to, and this is the moment I saw this tweet, my mind immediately went to, I like this.
It's different. It tells me two things. One, they're not going to force a quarterback. It appears. They're not going to force a quarterback in a year that is a bad quarterback draft. Objectively, like that's what we keep hearing is that it's Cam Ward and then we don't know how far Shedeur Sanders could fall.
Watch them take Quinn Ewers in the second round.
Ewers, we'll see if Dart maybe falls. Dart, I don't think it's out of the first round, but all of a sudden if Shador's
I don't know how.
But if Shador's all of a sudden available in the 20s, he's going to be the second quarterback taken. That makes sense. So maybe it's Dart or you've mentioned Quinn Ewers. Or this also told me Kevin Stefanski has a lot of job security. Maybe both him and Andrew Berry. And so they're okay to go.
Half good, half bad.
Half good, half bad. But they're okay to be like, hey, take the best player available. Make this defense even better. Or make the pass rush even better. Because the defense, I think, overall was not great. But
Garrett's how do you awesome. Fix the woes of an ailing secondary?
Well, yeah. The defensive line has two of the best players
how
in the
many
league,
times
maybe.
Have I started saying this is offseason with the Bills.
Yeah. And then they're like, and we'll go figure out quarterback next year. I mean, that's something most GMs and coaches sadly don't have is that job security. It's why I think if you're the Giants, why do they go sign Russell Wilson? Well, Brian Daboll and Joe Shane have basically been told if we're not winning immediately, you're gone.
John Mara is getting way too involved with that team, and it's showing.
It's showing, and Hard Knocks did not help. I think that's a big reason why we're not getting an offseason one is how badly that went for the Giants. But Cam Ward appears to be kind of the only good quarterback in this class or prospect that people can get excited about. He has, I think, elevated himself beyond some of these guys. But I kind of like the idea of Cleveland going, no, we are going to treat it like we are quote-unquote fans, which is we're not leaving. You know, one bad season is not going to send us down the drain. You know, they got to a playoff spot with Joe Flacco at quarterback. Did they make a bad move with Deshaun Watson? Hell yeah. But making sure that it's not the end-all, be-all situation, I think is how you maybe get better decisions out of your head coach and general manager, out of your coaches and your management, is to be like, hey, focus on this year of just getting more talent. We're not a good team. You know, a bad quarterback doesn't get you three wins. A bad team gets you three wins.
Yes.
And figure out then next year when the quarterback class potentially looks much better, then you go strike. We see this all the time. The highest quarterback taken in the draft doesn't always end up playing the best, mainly because their team is terrible. They're going to the worst organization. So all of a sudden the Browns, let's take, they take Abdul Carter, they fix their defense, what have you, and they win seven games. But then you add a quarterback and it's like, okay, well now, especially we've seen these quarterbacks hit immediately. Not all of them, but many of them are hitting right away. They can play right away. More college snaps, more games. Then there are 10 wins, and then you're off to the races again. It's more uncomfortable. It's a little sloppy. You have now some skeletons in your closet, but it's probably better than just burning it all down because the owner got involved in a quarterback situation.
Yeah.
And maybe that's my biggest thing.
Honestly, they might still need to. That's the thing. Say you make these moves.
Yeah.
They still might have to do it anyway.
Oh, I have no issue. But then you can still take one in the first round. Until you got one, keep taking them.
Yeah.
That's always been my philosophy. Until you have a quarterback, don't stop.
And I do think that, really, the security does help in that sort of way because you don't have to make any desperate moves.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioning the Giants and everything like that. Or ready? The Steelers. Tomlin has job security because the Steelers do not fire coaches. However, man,
they're just the worst.
You want to talk about bungling the position so bad right now that all that's left is the diva?
Who may not play.
Oh, no. I'm not buying that for a second.
No, but it's still the fact that like you are just handcuffed by this guy who's 41.
Ready? I think Pittsburgh can get aggressive and say that like they actually mm-hmm. like someone in this draft class. It would be genuinely hilarious if Pittsburgh drafts a quarterback in the first round again and says, no, Aaron, we're not waiting for you either.
Yeah, like we're done. I think we'll hear about that before the draft, though.
Yeah.
That'll be something where in the next 10 to 15 days, if he's still not signed, it's like Pittsburgh's moved on.
Yeah.
Rodgers is now going to have to wait for something to happen in camp for him to find a team. He's done.
Bye-bye.
Or he does retire. I'm with you. I think he wants to stay in the spotlight as long as possible.
Yeah, not buying that for a second.
But I've always liked the idea of Jackson Dart to the Steelers in a surprise first round draft pick. If Shedeur were to go early and all of a sudden Dart's available for them, where are they picking? Let me make sure on this. They are picking at 21. Wouldn't actually be an awful spot for Dart either. You still get the fifth year option.
And but also, if they need to move up, they can.
They can move up. But also, you made the big move for DK Metcalf. Kind of surprising everybody. And you still have Pickens for now. We'll see. It's not a bad spot to put a young quarterback in with two really good receivers. Potentially, you know, the quote-unquote diva, both of them. But Dart likes to throw the ball.
Yeah.
And he's not terrible at it. I mean, he can send it deep.
It is going to it's going to matter how does that top four shake out.
Mm-hmm. Tennessee, I think all signs are pointing to they're going to take Cam Ward.
Yep.
Cleveland, if we're going off this report, Abdul Carter. Then the draft starts at three. Now, are the Giants a team that's going to be, let's go get Travis Hunter? Or are they thinking, we just need talent. We just need anybody. We don't really have the luxury to have Hunter play at cornerback and take him at three overall and kind of at receiver. Let's go take Mason Graham or the best cornerback on the board, which I guess would also be Travis Hunter.
Yep.
I think the Patriots kind of believe that they're going to get Hunter.
They believe that they're going to get Hunter. It would be objectively hilarious then to see if the Giants do take Hunter.
And what do the Patriots do?
Lament that Joe Milton had a game against Buffalo.
He did.
Yeah. That would be my first reaction would be, oh, did Joe Milton really have to show off against Buffalo like that? Because we could have just had Hunter at one.
Yeah, we would have just taken the guy that we wanted to take. That would be very much how New England's offseason has
also
gone, though.
You mentioning how the Giants have been with, like, maybe they just take the best player available of a sort of sense. New England has ammunition that if they really feel threatened about Travis Hunter, they can do a Chicago Bears trade.
Oh, and just where they went and got Mitch, yeah.
And jump up to three, maybe even two. Just to get their guy, because they have 2/3.
They have the ammunition to do it.
And that's probably the price you're paying to leapfrog one team.
I'm so curious to what the Giants and the Patriots kind of seems like you sort of know what they want to do, which is go get a guy like Hunter. That appears to be the feeling.
What's a third round pick and what, like throw in a sixth or seventh?
Right.
To move up one or two spots.
Man, it's so curious. Or you could be the Giants also, though, could be looking at themselves like, we got to get better on the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they try, and it's a bad tackle class. Let's try to take the best tackle, whether it be Will Campbell, who apparently had way bigger arms than everyone thought at the combine, because apparently measurements just are whatever. They'll be at the Senior Bowl, their arms too short, Pro Bowl, arms too short, Pro Day. No issues, actually. I know.
It's pro day. It's the school.
But I'm like, then why are we doing this?
Yeah. But it's to try to up draft class. That's why.
Yeah.
Up the draft status. That's why.
Yep.
That is literally why.
So, yeah, maybe Will Campbell there for them. It's just, I like this draft a lot. I've mentioned this. I think the draft is going to play out perfectly for the Bills. I think they're going to have a lot of choices, whether it be D-tackle or cornerback.
Not just the Bills.
Seem to be the big ones.
It is going to be something that we did not see at all last year. There's going to be some aggression again.
I hope so. That was so boring last year.
Because it was tough because, I mean, it was boring once it started getting to everyone's just taking the best player available because all those teams went for quarterbacks. The top 12 was exciting in a sense of what the hell is going on. But then it turned into nobody wants to trade because the draft board is falling in everybody's favor to where they're like, no, I'm not going to move. Are you stupid?
Yeah, everyone took either you were taking a quarterback or just the best player available. The first defensive player doesn't go off the board until 15 with the Colts.
Which is disgusting.
I mean, if we're being honest, the most fun pick was probably Michael Penix at 8.
Yes.
Because you're like, excuse me?
And Atlanta did whole what now?
Yeah, that was probably like the most fun move, I guess.
Ultimately good for them because now it looks like it was probably the right decision all along because of what happened to Cousins, not because of Penix, but also just like, okay, yeah, maybe you did want to take a young guy so that you can set yourself up long-term at quarterback because Cousins is exactly what people were worried
Everyone
about.
Everyone was worried about.
Which is, he came off an Achilles tear and he's not very mobile in the first place and he's Kirk Cousins.
But I think this draft class could work out perfectly for the Bills in terms of who they want, who they can get, the position availability. I don't necessarily know about corner in round one. I constantly have an issue with that in terms of positional value. I have said it a lot. I'm usually somebody that would like to wait at corner, and you have 2 second-round picks. And I think a guy like Siobhan Revelle, who I know Nate has been a big fan
Nate
of.
Nate is pounding the table on that.
We were talking about him off air, and I'm like, I think he could be available in the second round. If you want to trade up, go get him. I think he's going to be there.
I also think that a player that Nate would also love, Benjamin Morrison, would probably be a round two grade.
Yeah. And that's not the Notre Dame bias either. That defense was incredible.
I even said to Nate on social media, I'm like, I will forgive your Notre Dame bias this year because the defense is legit.
Him and then Xavier Watts. Safety.
The two of them. Those are targets.
That secondary was so good.
That's day two targets for me. Like, I'm going to be pretty much like, Nate, I may hate Notre Dame with every fiber of my being, but I'm going to drop my bias and I'm going to accept yours for the weekend because that defense is nasty.
Do you have a player in this draft where you've decided, not position, but a player where you're like, that might be the one guy I don't love if the Bills did take him? I have one guy.
I don't have a hate list yet, and I think that's going to come with time. Last year, for example, that was ironically Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
I also had that with Josh Allen back in the day. So I'm not a scout.
Right.
So I don't really worry about the hate picks anymore or the ones that I'm scared about because maybe I should because my hit rate is actually...
Your hit rate on the ones that you don't like is pretty good.
It's actually very good for jinxing power. So, yes, I do need to find guys that I don't like. So
Kenneth Grant, say it. Say it for the world. Say it for the world.
Say it for you.
Exactly. I'm the world. I know I'm not alone with Bills fans.
You're always the world to me, BB.
There we go. The one guy I don't totally love, and I feel bad because I kind of stopped doing my homework on him when I saw the comparison, Walter Nolan on Ole Miss. The one NFL comparison I keep seeing for him is Ed Oliver. And in my head, I'm like, that's not the guy they need. That is not the guy they need.
They don't need another three tech like that.
Yeah, and that's, again, why I bring up Grant a lot. Derek Harmon out of Oregon. Big space heater guy, over 300 pounds, 6'4", or 6'5". He was on a very good Oregon defense. Deion Walker, I think for a lot of people for a long time out of Kentucky, he, though, appears to just be big and not really very fast, which is sort of concerning. But Tylek Williams, a guy who actually his pro day didn't go great for Ohio State. I don't know if you saw, he fell during his 40, kind of had to walk off for a little bit. Seems to be fine, but didn't look great. Alfred Collins, if you want to wait, out of Texas, 6'6", 330. So, I mean, there's a few guys they can go get. I look at guys like Walter Nolan, and I didn't even say Shamar Stewart out of A&M, because Shamar Stewart
is a guy that I want.
Is he?
He was someone that I started to target, but I'm like, is he going to go in like the teens, in the late teens?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, hey, maybe still go get him anyway. I don't know. You have ammunition to move around the board in your first two rounds, quite literally anywhere you want.
See, he's somebody I look at, and I'm like, I'm good. Great athlete, limited production. I don't love that.
I would want to look at the underlying numbers at that point to see what is working and what's not. Just to see, like, if the production hasn't been there, why?
Yeah.
So.
I think we're talking all the line guys there, but even cornerbacks. We've mentioned Benjamin Morrison, Siobhan Revelle, of course. I don't think Jahdae Barron is going to be there for Texas.
No.
I think he's going to be out. But Maxwell Harrison, who I know Pete Prisco was on with One Bills Live earlier this week, he really brought him up as a guy, great tackler, kind of always on the ball, would probably be really good for the Bills to be, you know, even maybe in the first round. Or, of course, I know somebody that's been mocked to the Bills a lot, Trey Amos from Ole Miss.
There's a lot.
Last year it felt like it needs to be a receiver and, oh, God, where are they going to fall? This year it feels like there's going to be a chock full of positions. There's just like three positions I don't want them to take.
There's also the defensive line and the defensive tackle in particular is so interesting this year that there's even a guy that's probably an undrafted free agent that people would want to look at, and that's Florida's Desmond Watson.
I was waiting for you to bring him up.
Oh, my God.
400 pounds. What is he, 6'3"? 6'6".
Oh,
464.
Wow.
He's just going to be a guy, sixth round.
What did he end up running at the 5'8"? 5'8"6 at the 40. You had something about this. You had fun with numbers about what that would correlate to.
So I don't know if the math is correct because someone else on Twitter already did it. Oh, the post is deleted. I think the math was wrong. Basically, the guy did the math that like somehow you could figure out the kinetic energy of that guy running a 5'8"6 at 464 pounds could equate to like a 240-pound linebacker running a 40-yard dash in like 3 seconds.
But also, I hear kinetic force and I get excited.
Yeah, like think about how big that guy is and how fast he's going. Like,
that's terrifying.
Yeah, what could he run through?
Ow.
You gonna tush push through that?
Yeah.
Well, so and on that too, there's kind of rumblings. Diana Rossini. We got to take a break here in a second, but Diana Rossini reported today, nothing official, but there's maybe some rumblings that
it's actually
next week
steam.
We might get some steam here of it, maybe the tush push getting.
Be interesting to talk to Sal and see what he's hearing.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for that because look, there's gonna be also some stuff for the kickoff. I don't know if you saw moving the touch back to the 35 yard line is up for vote.
But also one last thing on.
But Des, on him, if it doesn't
Des Watson,
get, yeah.
He also had a 25-inch vertical at 464 pounds.
Yeah, it appeared Florida was like, you're here for short yardage situations.
You are
and
here
to be fair, the NFL
be
probably would be the same thing, which is you're a space eater. You're here to stop the other big guys.
Ready? I have a run-heavy team. You're on my practice squad. You're in elevation that day.
Yeah.
That's quite frankly what I would say.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number two call. Going to be a quick final segment when we come back. Do want to touch on UB women as they advance in the NIT. We'll do that after a quick timeout. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging out with you today. We'll also be with you Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week.
So hope you keep enjoying us.
Do have two quick notes here. One, UB women's basketball won their round of 16 NIT matchup last night against Southern Indiana, 76-64. That means they are playing Sunday, 2 p.m. over on our sister station, the Bet 1520, at home against Rutgers. I think they still are saying that they're waiting on ticket information, but that should be coming out here
right
pretty soon. That's something I've been thinking about as well, potentially going. I've been meaning to go to a game.
Jump
That'd be perfect
it.
To go to that. And then also, it was opening day yesterday for Major League Baseball for the most part. I know the Dodgers and the Cubs played in Japan.
Yes.
I don't care. It was opening day yesterday. Today is the Bison's opening day. The weather seems to be a little shaky. A
little questionable.
Good for right now.
I got good news for you. Bison's released their starting lineup for today.
Yes, they are taking on Rochester at Salem Field, 2 o'clock. That is also going to be on the Bet 1520 if you cannot attend today's game. Should be a lot of fun. I watched a good bit of baseball yesterday. I watched the Yankees, a little bit of the Mets, and then college basketball kind of started up. The Angels, game one.
Magnet
against
schedule giveaway, by the way, down at the Swan Street Gate for Bisons.
That's exciting. Real so quick on the Angels because I know many want to laugh at me.
I'll do it right now.
0-1. On the season, 11 of the last 12 years, you've lost on opening day, and you do so against projected one of the worst White Sox teams ever. Game one, you had positional players pitching before the game ended. Love that for all involved. Thank you, Joshua. Thank you. Love that for all involved. I cannot wait to give up on this team by June.
Last 10 seconds, I'm going to say boiler up. Let's go, Purdue.
Have a great rest of your day, everyone. This is WGR.